All right. Good afternoon, everybody. So, I don't have a fancy title. Not a doctor yet. This is just heart work to me. And so, equity-driven MTSS and data analysis. So, the other thing that I'm extremely passionate about is AI. And so, if you have questions about the presentation or, hey, why does it look this way or why does it suck, it is AI generated. Actually pretty cool. It's called Gamma AI if you want to learn about that towards the end, but it's one of the new waves in AI, and so but you do still have to use prompting in order to get it a certain way. You can't just say, hey, make me an equity presentation. It's a no. So I do have some knowledge in the things that I'm talking about, so I'm gonna just get this thing started. So are we gonna work? Here we go. So last year I was supposed to present. If you were here last year, who was here last year? Okay, so you all remember that horrible snowstorm, right? Okay, so my partner last year was Dr. Caitlin Billups. She is from Birmingham Schools, and so basically she couldn't get here. No worries. So we planned, we had this data, and we talked, we planned to present about equity in the MTSS process, period. She's still in Birmingham, and she's actually gotten a promotion. And so through our joint planning, we came up with what you're going to see today. But she and I originally worked together in Detroit. I am a lifelong Detroiter. I'm a product of Detroit Public Schools. I graduated from Martin Luther King High School. I went on to Eastern Michigan University. I would say one of the best undergrad programs in education, but I might just be a little biased. And then I went on to the University of Michigan, where I attained two additional master's degrees. So, with that being said, I'm also a former 6th through 12th grade English teacher, an instructional coach, as well as a reading specialist. Those were the masters. And then I'm currently a middle school administrator. I do have a consulting company, so I've had a couple talks about AI as well as this stuff as well. And I love literacy and advocating for children. I am a mother to two boys, 16, and the other one's about to be 12, going on 22. But, you know, there's that also. My boy moms, you know. So this is the why. So basically last year, again, we came to the conference. This is the presentation. It was bridging the achievement gap in MTSS. So we analyzed. We were discussing the trends. We had a lot of numbers. I, again, have that ELA background. That was Caitlin's specialty. So we had the numbers. We had the graphs. Everything was great. I had to speak to numbers. I got a little bit of math. My ladies, y'all know percents, multiply, addition, shopping, you know, that's where my numbers kind of kick in. Anything outside of there, it's a little rough, but we did pretty good. But basically, as we were discussing in the group, I learned in that very moment that there are some districts, believe it or not, that still don't actually have MTSS processes, period. And so when I did a quick assessment of the crowd, we probably had 30% in the room. Now, mind you, this is a bigger group, but we had about 30% that were consistently using the MTSS process. And so the other 70%, I was like, okay, this is a need and we need to address the thing and learn how to properly do it. So this is what brought me back today to talk about it. Let me see. Yep, also we did a blind data analysis, three different districts, two high and one low. With the educators, the administrators, that's essentially what we did. We looked at the trends, and then here we are. So, so today we're gonna focus on a couple different things. You are gonna walk away with an equity audit framework because whether you're starting it for the first time or you're trying to make it better, you want to have a framework so that you are using the MTSS process to be equitable to all of your students. So we're going to identify disproportionality in MTSS access and outcomes across our student groups. We're going to move from compliance monitoring to strategic resource allocation and using multiple measures. There are also some system level levers, so adult actions. This is the conversation. It's not more or less what is wrong with the child, it's what's wrong with the system. So what are the adult actions that close the opportunity gaps at tier 1, 2, and 3, as well as what are the ready-to-use leadership protocols to district and building teams? And we're probably going to get out early because I'm nervous. Sorry, y'all. I'm going to fly through this thing. So this is the one glitch that y'all can see. I love laughing at myself. It is a thing. But you see that disproportionality? Now, mind you, when I presented this thing at home, it was perfect. It lined up, but now it's not lined up. It is not me. It is the AI, y'all. It clearly is. And so, but y'all need to know this looked right at first. So there you go. But, all right, so first, these are some real facts, y'all. At all. No, we got to roll with it, right? All right, so I do have some facts for you. At the end, let me see. I'm trying to get my notes on the other computer because, you know, the presenter view does weird things on this computer. But basically, 2.3 times, that's the disproportionality rate of black students in Tier 3 interventions nationally. 47% of the multilingual learners under-identify for academic enrichment support. So basically, if you have an ELL population, they are more likely to be not properly supported going through the MTSS process. And then you have, if your Tier 3 is greater than 5%, then that definitely is a sign that your Tier 1 instruction should be looked at. Forgive me. I have real research, y'all. With statistics and the thing and the internet sucks. So, this is on my real computer. No, we're not going to do this. I'm sorry, y'all. Yeah, it's just frozen. So when I shared out the slides with Ellen, you will have all of the information along with the research-based materials to go along with it. But the first statistic, basically, it ties into our original presentation. The original presentation in the two high districts that we looked at, no names are going to be given, but even though the district is number one and number two in the state, that was just for white students. If you looked at the black students as well as the ELLs and the students with disabilities, their data and their achievement rate was that on par with Detroit Public Schools. And so little do those parents know, hey, your kid is in this number one district, but your kids are still being serviced at the level of what you would deem as, you know, I don't want to say bad schooling, but a district that might be looked upon in the state, right? But Detroit's growth data was doing better than that particular number one district. So it was a really interesting discussion because, again, on paper, you think, oh, everybody's number one, everybody's number two. If you are not Asian or white in these districts, your children were being underserviced. So, and then the multilingual learners, again, that's another group within my current school. I'm in River Rouge School District. We have a huge property. We have a huge population of ELL students. And so, again, the article that I researched for this one, it spoke about how children that are learning a second language basically have a higher percentage rate of, again, being underserviced, being left in ELL classrooms a lot longer. And the longer they're in there, the less they're going to achieve. And so, again, you have to be continually looking at your processes in order to service these students equitably. And then that last group, again, this is the current status. If you're Tier 1, so within my district, it is an inverted triangle where we have a lot of students in Tier 3, and then it narrows down with the Tier 1 instruction. So Tier 1, let's do a quick check. How many people are using MTSS in their buildings? Okay, this is good. This is not what it looked like the first time. So you know Tier 1 instruction should be a regular triangle on the bottom. Ours is inverted. And so because of that, it has us looking at the Tier 1 instruction from the teachers, as well as the support services in order, how are we servicing these people, right? It's because all the kids, you can't have a school where you have 90% of your students in Tier 3 instruction or have IEPs or 504s. It's a no-no. I was going to say something, but I'm not going to throw any shade. But bottom line, it should not be a lot of kids with 504 plans. So I'm going to go on to the next slide. All right, so as an equity system, right, so this is when it starts to get a little bit uncomfortable. The traditional approach is usually reactive, right? You're meeting with your group, and you should have potentially a team of people that are meeting. So in my particular district, in my old district, it was the principal, assistant principal, head of special education, a counselor, a parapro. I want to say we had our ELL educator on there as well. The ELL educator is missing, but it is still those relevant parties now within the district. So if you do not have a team, that's already kind of a sign that something is a little off, because again, as an assistant principal, I don't know everything. But the head of the special education department, when we're talking about accommodations, IEP services, all of those things, she's there to speak up and make sure that we're in compliance. So that's one of the things you want to first note if it's not there. So, but they're usually, again, deficit-based interventions. We're thinking, what's wrong with this child? Why are they not learning, right? Student level problem solving only. So again, how can we fix this kid and fix this kid, and then you go to the next kid and continue the process? And then ultimately they end up in separate educational pathways. That's how the traditional form is set up. You kind of weed them through the process and then they'll get their IEP or their 504 in the end. However, with an equity driven system, it is proactive universal screening with bias checks. That is this particular form that I'm gonna give you all to walk away with. And it's gonna cause some uncomfortable conversation because it's really causing you to look at the teachers. Who is the teacher that is recommending the service for that particular child, right? How is their behavior? How are their grades? How many referrals are they writing? Those are the things that we should be considering when the teacher recommends the student for the MTSS process. And then the other one is an activity for a longer drawn out process, and it's through the Graduate School of Education. It's a data for equity protocol. So it walks you through the whole entire system step by step so that you can take this back and replicate it with your teams. I only have 15 copies of this one. I do have 20 of this one, but you can, again, I'll forward it to you. I'll get it to you if you would like it, but it's extremely helpful. So back to our thing. All right, so with the equity-driven system, again, we're looking at the system itself, right? So in my building, I can tell you right now, my math department is a hot, horrible mess. They just are. And so it's not that they're not smart, it's their classroom management. And so you can be the smartest teacher in the world, know your subject, but if kids are swinging from the walls, walking out the room, throwing books, it doesn't matter, they're not going to learn the material. And so you have to look at the system itself when you're talking about equity-based. And so you want to also look at asset-based. What is that child good at? Because every kid is good at something, right? I hope we believe that. Absolutely. Every kid is good at something. So you want to have culturally responsive support. So within my district, we've had trainings from, we've done a book study with Dr. Goldie Muhammad, as well as Dr. Bettina Love. And so these materials, the way that they frame education and curriculum, speak to educating in a child that they can relate in. So be it getting more Arabic books or having math problems that all children can relate to. In our last session, Dr. Sneed was talking about a catamaran. I am from Detroit. I don't know what no catamaran is. Not until I'm 44 now, but when I was young, and so he did this breakdown, it was really quite wonderful. But if I'm a child looking at this assessment, I see the word catamaran, I'm thinking some kind of cat, maybe it's black and white, but I don't know what that is, right? And so just having the reference to know you have to look at all things, the test itself. How are the teachers phrasing the thing? How is the curriculum being phrased and taught to the children? I used to teach, I taught the novel, I'm trying to remember the name of it. It was Unbroken, he's an Olympian, and it's an Italian man, and he went on to win the Olympics, but he also had to fight in World War II. He saw Hitler and did all these things, right? I'm teaching in Detroit, though. So you think, white man, Olympics, World War II, middle school students, so incredibly far left, right? What I ended up doing, and this is what a lot of our teachers need to do, I made the reference to the Red Tails. You don't know who the Red Tails are. The Red Tails is the black, they were the black pilots that supported the white pilots during World War II. And so as my students are reading about Louis and his struggles, and of course my track stars are all into it, enjoying it, we had the also relation like, well, where would you be during this time? Where were black people during this time? And we looked at that historical reference and we ended up looking at the movie Red Tails. Now the kids are all into it, right? So just making a small tweak and how you facilitate something is how you can pull them in and they're more likely to learn the materials. And so again, it's not just black and white. I don't want people to think that, but you do have to think, how can I make this relevant to my student population? Let's see, and then adult practice examinations and adjustments. Your teachers are not gonna like this. How many people are administrators or central office? Yeah, okay. So this is where it gets a little difficult, because if you're the one, so during COVID, that is when I took an extended course through Eastern Michigan University, because I wanted to come out with something to show for COVID. Some people worked out, some people did not. Whatever, but I wanted something to show for it. So I delved deeper into equity. And so with that, it's something I'm really passionate about. But everywhere, especially right now in our current climate, is not happy about the phrase equity. And so you're going to get pushback. And so this is where the hard work and what side of history do you want to be on? So I've learned some lessons in being a little loudmouth, but I don't regret it. So if you're going to do it, stand 10 toes down on it. That is truly my charge to you, because it's not about them. It's about the kids, right? We make society better by making our kids better. They're the future. So and then bottom line, you just want to integrate continuum of the services. So whatever system you do, if you're using the checklist, if you're evolving and changing your MTSS process, you need to create something that's going to be sustainable whether you're there or not. That's the true mark of, you know, change and sustainability. Can they do it without you there? All right, so this is when we're going to talk to each other. What MTSS supports do you currently have, and are you using them effectively and equitably? So within my district, we use EduClimber. So we have some people out there, some vendors out there. But basically, we hop on a call. It's virtual. And we do the same time every day. It's every Wednesday at 10:30. We are doing the MTSS call. So whether my dean is in the lunchroom, my principal's in his office or in his car, everybody's on this call. We kind of drop everything in MTSS, new acronym. So, but that's what we do every Wednesday faithfully. And that's part, one of the biggest things that districts struggle with is creating the time to meet frequently. You have to meet. You gotta look at the kids. You have to track their interventions as well. So basically, this is what the screen will look like. So you have, of course, all our faces. We remember what that looked like during COVID, so we're all on the Zoom call, but we're looking at a screen like this. When we're making decisions in this call, we're looking at a child's iReady data, as well as their report card grades, their attendance data, as well as their suspension data. So what type of system, if any, are you using? So I'm gonna turn talk real quick to each other, and you talk about that, and then we'll share out. Oh my gosh. Is this gonna work? Why is this not working? All right, hold on. Is this one? I don't think this is going to work. In fact, I have stuff. Don't worry, my guys. I need to get out of here. This is going dead, so. Oh, maybe I could do it that way. Yes, I could do it that way. Yep, there we go. So what system do you use?
So when we look for MTSS, we use their NWEA.
Yeah.
We do beginning, middle, and end of year. Yeah. And we get previous school year as well. So if we have students returning, we're 6 through 12. Right. We have returning students, we'll look at their spring NWEA and then their test scores.
Yeah.
See how that is, how the end of semester course was.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's three columns. If they hit two out of those three red flags, we'll put them in there.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have the ability to look at for taught the student, but it's strictly just data with scores right now.
Right. So it's just those kind of mid-year assessments. So do you all look at their MSTEP or their, you said 6 through 12, so that'd be their PSAT and their SAT data? Okay. But that's the only data?
The MSTEP too, because it'll be 6 and 7 moving up to 7, 8.
Correct.
So right. They'll look at those and their NWA and then their end of semester 2 grade and how they did.
In each class, yeah.
Because in math, if they did fail their NWEA and they pass their math class, they just don't want to go on a personal test. It's stressful for an online school.
Yeah.
And so if they decline in those two and their state testing is a lot of it, it's because they...
Something else happened.
It's completely something else.
Right.
They want to be in person, they were stressed out.
Right.
Instead of intervention or MTSS, it's how do you prepare, how do you mentally prepare to go test? So that's like my next thing for... Is that even academic MTSS? It's just being prepared.
Correct.
But on the level of equity, you have to look at it. I know I pull that data everywhere, and I want to be more proactive with it, too, to give those people support.
Mm-hmm. And you have to be. In order to really do it right, because, again, a deficit base, it's not sustainable. And, again, it kind of makes the kid, even though they're going to get their need in the moment, we want to hopefully teach the kid long term, right? Put some structures in place, build the confidence, like you said, so that they're able to do better overall.
Students are at our school because they don't function in the brick and mortar.
Correct. So they really need it.
They feel safe once the whole entire school year. They go into a random place they've never been before, take a test that they don't want to take.
Yep. With people they don't know, they've never seen before. Right. Right. It's all of those things. So that I don't like, and I don't want to do the thing. Absolutely, absolutely, yeah.
We've gotten to that participation, we've hit 100%, our kids are going, mm-hmm. The next step is how do we make them want to do well on the test?
I think the last session I was in, so Dr. Sneed, he's big on equity also, so we were talking about what that needs to look like to get the buy-in from the kids. And it's definitely not just the test data. You got to find basically what creates the kids. So, yeah, can you share out? just a little bit? Okay, I'll take a couple others. All right, if I could have everybody's attention, please. Thank you. We had some rich discussions. Absolutely. Okay, so... Right here in the gray, you shook your head quite vigorously. Can you share out, please? Okay. Okay. Okay, good. And who was your partner? Hi, partner. Are you using EduClimber?
No.
Oh! Well, is there one in particular that you would lean towards, or maybe a setup that might work best? Interesting. Okay. Well, you've come to the right place. All right. All right, someone else, either, I don't want to say EduClimber because I'm a little biased. So some of the other ones I've seen, Panorama has one. I've been seeing this one online. Rethink Ed also has one. PowerSchool supposedly has one. The BAA, so I have a cousin that's a principal in Detroit. I should not see this thing, but I see this thing, and it's a screen. It's cool to me because you can kind of, so I'm competitive also. So, but the principals in Detroit can see what other schools are doing, or at least they see certain data about that school. So they might see their suspension data, their iReady data, and so it's kind of the same type of setup, and it gives each school a grade. But again, I think that's something that Detroit specifically made. Anybody from Detroit? Okay, good. So with that being said, I don't want to get her in trouble, but... Yeah, so, and then we just found this new company out there, LinkedIt. So, outside of EduClimber, has anybody else used any other software? Yeah.
the biggest drawback is that they want for a school of $65,000 a year. So that one.
That's a lot. No. 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 Okay. So, and who is your partner? Hi, partner.
Hey.
And what did we talk about?
We don't have a system.
Okay. Exactly. All right. Yes, sir. What does it pull? Now I'm curious. Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Yep. Oh, wow. Oh, it does? So absolutely. Absolutely. So the one thing that we do in terms of processes in the districts that I was in, so the first thing, like I said, outside of establishing a set day and time, we have a Google Doc that we use, and so that agenda is just sent out to the team. It's in a shared drive, so everybody has access. So we have it set up to where, you know, you have the student, you have their grade, you have their the actual grade that they might get, the concern from the teacher, the date that we met, and then next steps. And so by having this continual running agenda, we're able to keep up with the stuff, even though we're looking at EduClimber while we're talking about it. We'll kind of plug all those notes into it as we go, so that, you said, it'll stay around. And then we can see also what interventions were used, because how many times have we done this, y'all, where we'll help a kid, support them, get some things going, like you said, the person leaves, and now we're back at square one. So now the kid's frustrated, the parent's frustrated, like it's a messed up process. So we have to come up with a solid system to keeping up with that data. All right, so district level equity. We have to use a universal screening. We need to look at the referral rates as well as the tier placement by race, language, disability, and income. Again, I have an ELA background, Dr. Billups. When you access my school data, there is a function within it where you can disaggregate the data, and it will literally do it for you. So again, I can't quite walk you through all the way through it. It might take me a minute. I'm not that bad, y'all. But there is a function there where it will literally break down the test scores for MSTEP or PSAT or SAT by those particular things, by their race, even by their sex. So you can use all of those things to give a bigger picture of the students that you all are looking at. You also want to analyze the growth rates, the tier movement, exit criteria, across all those particular subgroups. So baby steps. I want to say the first thing that we looked at is their sex and their race. Those are the two biggest factors that we use. In terms of disability, if the child has an IEP, we'll lift that also. But the income doesn't really factor in, not in, in this particular scenario. My district currently is a district where I think we're 100% free and reduced. My previous district, the average income within the town was $150,000 for per family. So apples to oranges. And so with that being said, income is not factored into where I'm currently at. It wasn't factored in, or at least we didn't discuss it. But it is a difference with the amount of money that a child has access to, the type of education they will receive. That's just my own personal thing. I'm going to get off that box. But anyway, so, and then you want to try to identify some root causes, the staffing patterns, right? Districts that have, I don't want to say more money, but districts that are at the top, their staff is usually there longer. They have the seasoned teachers. They are typically at the top of the pay scale. But you also want to look at where that particular resources are going. A lot of people or a lot of districts I'm learning, I didn't play sports. A lot of money goes to sports in the sport department. So, you know, if you're trying to build up your AP classes or do other things to support students, you might have to fight the athletic director. I'm just saying. Referral bias. So I've seen this across the board. Usually the same teacher that's writing kids up are referring kids for MTSS. Has anybody seen anything different? Okay. So yes, I've typically seen that. And the teacher, so she's either really strict, or in my building, she has no control of her students. She's probably sent us all of her students, except two, for MTSS. That's a whole nother discussion. Clearly that's a teacher problem, not the kid problem. But if you are in that case where you kind of have that bias, I kid y'all not, she really did refer all of her kids to MTSS. And we use a Google form to track it. So like, yeah, it's filled up with her name and her students. So if you are in this particular case, find the common denominator, right? Find another teacher that's in that building that has a little better classroom management, stronger relationships with the students, you know, and if that teacher plus another teacher refers the same child, okay, it might be legitimate versus all of the kids needing the thing. And then the other thing, you all want to set some equity targets. So you want to be proportional to the goals and the timelines and the accountability measures. So you can use that tool, and we will look at it shortly, but you can use that also as you all are going through the process. All right, so again, a whole lot of repeating stuff. You want to look at how you all are screening the kids. You want to use a universal measure, that tool, 3 times a year so you can review the biases. How many of you, has anybody in here did a bias review of their MTSS process? Okay. Bring that up, see how that conversation goes, but you have a tool that you can use and you can reference, and I do have it tied to articles as well, because we know as educators we need facts and research and things, but you do have that to make your argument to actually start looking at your process. Also, you want to have targeted assessments to inform the intervention design and the intensity. You want to progress monitor. Are we monitoring every 6 weeks? Ooh. That's probably the one part in the step where a lot of districts, not just you all, a lot of districts suffer, because you'll put them through the whole process. And so is the kid, so for example, in my district, they'll go to, we might recommend them for tutoring after school, or they might need, you know, preferential seating in the classroom. How is that being tracked and monitored, and who's doing it? And so you have to, in terms of fidelity, that's the piece that'll keep your framework, again, equitable and fair. Because you can't just, because we all know that the squeaky wheel gets the oil. My son has a 504. I'm a very loud parent. I am nice, but I am very loud. So I know that my child gets a lot of things to support him because I am an educator. But what about the parent that doesn't have an educational background, right? Are we doing a disservice to them because they don't know? And they shouldn't be mistreated because they don't know. So this is where this loud mouth does her work, because I advocate for all of my parents. All right, so some questions we're going to probably talk about and share real quick. You want to look at your MSTEP and your PSAT data. You want to examine the patterns. So it's actually a little bit later, but I have an activity where we're going to look at data, and we're going to look at different backgrounds. But if your suspension data is disproportionate, meaning maybe a high portion of your boys are being suspended, as well as those same boys being lifted for MTSS, that's a problem. Boys are not the problem. Well, not all the time, but I'm just saying. So to be fair, right, but we have to look at the breakdown. So again, another turn and talk. So, well, more or less something to think about if you want to take a picture of this real quick. Which buildings, so who are my district level central office people? Okay, yep. So which buildings show disproportionate outcomes by subgroups? You can break this down. Again, your My School data is where you will find it. But look at their test data. You can look at their suspension data. I know I've seen some schools do some funny things with their suspension data because they don't want to look a certain way. But you can, you know what it is in-house. So look at your different schools. You might have one that's outperforming another one, but why is that, right? Are they really outperforming, or are they just playing with their numbers? Now, there are some good schools out there, y'all. I don't want y'all to think I don't know that, but I've seen some shady stuff. So where do tier one core instruction gaps exist? I know within my building, we are literally in year 1.5 of curriculum implementation. So because we're in year 1.5, my teachers need to be, they need another round of professional development with their small groups as well as their curriculum implementation because they are struggling. So again, just analyze that thing. If you have a set curriculum, that might be one of the things that needs to exist. Are intervention students making accelerated growth? Again, we have to track. Is it your special education teacher? Is it the English teacher that referred them? Is it the math teacher? Who's tracking the stuff? And then how do district resources align to the needs? So I was gonna do a slide on this and kind of have you share it, but we could do this really quickly. Just kind of what are your supports within the districts? Because I've noticed that just because a district might be number one does not mean that those supports are there. So I mentioned the district with the average median income, $150,000, the parents were paying for Sylvan. The parents were paying for Kumon. The district was not paying for that. There were a lot of clubs, but if just like when they leave the school, it went away. If that doctor parent decided to matriculate up to high school, now the middle school doesn't have the Young Brain Surgeons Club. So like, well, I'm serious, it really existed. But you, what are the supports or the resources? So right now, some of our standard resources, we use IXL to support my students at home because we know most kids have a tablet or a phone. They can access those too. That's an equitable supportive resource. The district pays for it, but they can practice at home. We know we don't get homework back, but they can do IXL on their phone. They also, we have mentoring clubs. We do have tutoring. I'm trying to think anything else. We're trying to get some other things. So what are some supports that you all have? So we can just kind of lift, because maybe you have it in your budget to be able to buy the thing. I don't know about $65,000, but you know, what are some things that you all using to support your students that come through MTSS? Say it again. Okay, what's that? Okay. Okay. So kind of like Moby Max. Yep. Okay. Oh, okay. Anybody else? This is how we learn about stuff, y'all. When we get to sharing and putting it out, because I've never heard of that until this very moment. So anything else, anybody else using something kind of cool to support their kiddos outside of tutoring, IXL, Lexia. What was the other one? I know, was it iReady? Yep, iReady, but that takes your, you know, your middle of the, your beginning, middle, and end of the year assessments. So do they work on iReady at home? They do? Yes. Yep. No, my boys do it. We do it in my building, but we don't, I don't want to say we don't allow them, but like supposedly next to iReady research, they only want the 45 minutes a week. So they don't practice it at home. So then you have to go to something else. So another one is Khan Academy, because that's free and everybody likes Khan. But the big wave that I love, y'all, is AI. AI to me is one of the biggest equalizers in all of this thing, because it can really help each child with their own individual path. It helps teachers save time. Like, it's great. All right, so system levels. I'm trying to let y'all out early. This is what we essentially want this thing to look like. So for tier one, we want culturally responsive curriculum audit. How is your curriculum working? I kid you not, I saw a book. It was one of the things, was it in my interview? I think I raised it in my interview. So there was this textbook And it was written about teenagers, black kids, white kids, Hispanic kids, right? No problem. So every chapter was about a different child overcoming an obstacle. Problem is the literate teacher and equity advocate. One, it was written by an older white lady. So there's nothing wrong with my white sisters writing books. However, when every chapter is a stereotype, that is a problem. So for example, the Hispanic girl, her father was an alcoholic and she was just migrating over here and she was about to be tempted to join a gang. Okay, my black kid, their dad's in jail. Like, that is a problem. Why did no one catch this before I interviewed for this particular district? Doing things like that, you have to be able to speak up. You have to look at the materials. So, like, I remember, what was this book? My child, he's into dogs, now my 12-year-old. But he was reading a book about, it was like colonial times and something. He's like, Mom, I don't get it. It was about a little girl. He's like, Mom, I'm so lost. And I was like, I know, sweetie. So we had to push through it. But really, we want to try to have a variety. Have your curriculum match your population. And there's, in all kids, the research actually leans into all kids, white, black, or otherwise, benefit from diverse literature, period. So intervention analysis. You want to have some transparent referral criteria apply consistently. You want to schedule intervention time during the school day and family engagement in their native languages. So again, I have within my building, we have a high Spanish-speaking population, so we do have, one of my teachers is Hispanic. She comes in there, she's on the MTSS call as well to be able to translate and support our Spanish-speaking parents, period. So you want to have somebody to advocate there to relay the message, because parent partnership is big. If you have the parents to buy in, then you can make sure that those interventions are implemented and supported. And then again, you want to look at your resource allocation. So what are your staffing ratios? You want to, high need schools, bottom line, money and talking about money, that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother day. Again, I told y'all I came out of Detroit. Dr. Vitti would do this huge back to school convention and he talked about the money. And we all know in Michigan, you know, we get state funding and then we get federal funding, or at least our state funding, and we have a little bit of taxes. So charter, sorry, y'all don't get no money. Well, they're trying to change that. But anyway, but Dr. Vitti would talk about how it was inequitable. And so again, the two number one districts that we were talking about, we had the children. So again, just different cities in Michigan, one child getting $12,000 for their per pupil. And then you have a kid in Detroit that might be getting $7,500. That's not fair. And it has, should every child get $12,000? Absolutely. Because the problem is, again, the resources, we know that they're lacking more. So why are they getting less? They have to do more. It's not fair, right? And so I have a cousin in Ohio, we're a family full of educators. She said they do their money based on counties. So they do countywide distribution of their money. I don't know what that looks like, but she feels it's a little more equitable than what we do based on the city and taxes. But you have to try your best to put the best people for the schools with the lowest scores and you'll see improvement. Professional learning budgets for equity training. You have to do it. It's uncomfortable, ugly conversations that people don't want to have, but you got to do something different. And you want to have technology access for all intervention students, period. What does that look like? All right, this is the protocol. We're going to go through this. Yes, we're going to ultimately look at an example. This is how you want your stuff to be allocated at the end of the day. Again, you'll get a copy of these slides. So it tells you the resource type, where it's currently allocated, the equity gap, and the reallocation target. I'm trying to find my, yes, so now we have a case study. So if you all want to look at the case study real quick and then do a turn and talk about what do you see going on? Yep, so let's read this real quick. So thumbs up when you're ready. All right, I got one. So the question you're going to discuss, do you agree or disagree with the actions? I think this one's a little obvious, but safe space. All right, let's turn and talk. Do we agree or disagree? Do we think they did the right thing? Or would you do it differently? Would we do it differently? I'm coming back over here. Yes. Okay.
Oh, get their stuff together.
Students counted.
Yeah. What are you thinking? You agree, disagree? Good call, not good call?
It did get better. Do you think there's anything they could have did to make it stronger, maybe? Especially that first one where it says bias training for intervention decision makers. Like, if they wouldn't have did that, do you think we still would get the same result? If they didn't do the training and all of these things. Yep, would it still work? Like if they would have just did the three? Because I know bias training can be a little difficult for everybody in certain districts, so. All right, y'all, what do we think? It did change. Would everybody keep all of the tools that they used? Or will we take some away? Yes. Mm-hmm. So. Okay. Right.
And so a big thing for our bus is that we strain into our construction across the board.
Correct.
Because we have kids that are 4 or 5 years to be grade level, something that gives them don't have so many resources. So, yeah, I'm gonna have a bit more for two on
correct.
All my kids. But the other thing too is what data says what data wants to
No. Absolutely, yeah.
And so when I look at this, yes, there is no representation, but why?
Yep. Okay. And you said what assessment was used? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. But like you said, it's also looking at the tier one instruction, doing a curriculum audit, period. So I did not include that particular one, but it's I think it's Center for Equity and Education, but New York, they just created a rubric not too long ago. It's really long, but it is a curriculum audit, and it literally takes you through some of the things that you should be looking for with the curriculum to determine is it strong and is it fair and is it equitable for all of the students. So, Well, that could happen as well, and you do have to be prepared to push back, because I can speak on my district. The other district, they mostly use, again, it was the data that popped up in EduClimber. So you didn't have your daily assessment data. You're, forgive me, y'all, perimenopause is real. And so, listen, the words, ladies, y'all know, it's the words. that basic data, the anecdotal, there we go. The anecdotal data was not there in determining which child should go into MTSS. They literally just went off of your grades and your scores on iReady or PSAT, and then behavior. It was more behavior leaning than it was their actual academic knowledge. And so instead of looking at the teacher, looking at the curriculum, looking at some of these other things, that's all they did. And so current situation is more behavior based. And they're not looking at the curriculum. So I definitely would consider a curriculum audit as well. Yeah. Yeah. Girl, what district are you in? I'm serious, because listen, y'all, it's a lot of people who do not consider that right there. They just think it's something wrong with the kid. I cannot tell you how many times, not my children, but other children have been referred to as a problem, or they just don't want to learn, or whatever the thing is, but they didn't ever consider the curriculum or the engagement or how they were facilitating the lesson. So they just want to throw the kid out. So thank you for lifting that. Absolutely.
And I think the thing about you're going to have the ableistic here, 3-3, that's not the reason they end up in meeting they're not completing it.
Well, that's the other thing. Like you, with the EduClimber and the whole system, you consider those things. You should be considering their attendance rate as well as their suspension rate, because that suspension rate, you know, it hints at the behavior piece and maybe it feeds in. But when kids don't know, they're going to act out also, right? I'm not going to tell you, hey, Mr. Smith, I don't know this particular math problem, but I am funny and you don't like me, so I'm going to act out until you kick me out. Right. Yep. 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 Mhm. Absolutely. And you know that one's hard. Okay. Because it's a lot of women. So, again, just my own personal experience. I am a product of DPS. I had wonderful Black teachers everywhere. I had great Hispanic teachers. Like, I just love my experience within DPS. It was very affirming as a child. My mom, she was divorced. But people didn't think that either. But my mom was divorced. She worked a lot for my sister. And my father would see us on the weekends, whatever. But going to school, my teachers loved on me, literally told me I was brilliant, I was beautiful, you can do this, all of that thing. And from the ones that looked like me to the ones that didn't look like me versus my children's experience. And that part is why I'm here with y'all. Because when you hear, I have two Black boys. And to even take it a level deeper, I have a darker one and a lighter one. And my darker child has had a much rougher experience in school, from teachers insinuating that he's violent, aggressive, and angry, all of which he's not, versus my lighter child, who is violent, aggressive, and angry, right? And so I'm telling y'all, like, they never see it coming from him. I'm like, this is the one, not that one. So with that being said, though, it's still disheartening, right, that you have these negative stereotypes. You assume my child is not going to be good at robotics or at math. That is his jam. My younger one, we still trying to figure him out. But we do know, you know, he still has a good heart. He's more Sour Patch Kid. But he's not his brother, is what it is. And so they never see my youngest coming. And so he's gotten a little more love because he is a little lighter skinned. And I'm like, this isn't fair. And so again, from all teachers that don't look like him. So my oldest had his first black teacher in ninth grade. And so there are studies that go along with children that have teachers that look like them are more likely to go to college. Well, he's going to college anyway, because his mama and his daddy did. But I'm just saying, for other children that don't come from that environment, if they have a teacher that looks like them, that encourages them, they're more likely to do the thing. So I agree with you, girl. It is very important. Absolutely. Yeah, we have the suspension data to go along with that also, too. Like, the boys are the bane of all existence. Well, it's another story. Boys learn different. That's a whole nother lecture on a whole nother day. But boys are physical. They need to move. Like, they can't just sit and get, versus our girls who can do that. They can play student. Our boys cannot. So whole nother argument. All right. So last mathematical thing that you all are going to do, and we're pretty much almost done. So what might the adult systems be producing? What do you notice and what stands out? And these are, again, the type of things that you want to, yep. Should be up here at your shoulder. All right, thumbs up when you all are ready to discuss. It's quite a few things. Okay, I got one person. I would probably pick one thing to talk about. Again, I'm trying to get everybody out early. I do respect your time. I know we're supposed to be here till 4:15, but I remember traffic. So there's that. I showed this to my staff and they were all in. So the discussions were very rich. And again, you'll have a copy of this if you want to do something like this with your staff as well. Okay. 72% of the black students are in tier 3. It is 72% of the 18% population of students. So only 18% of your students are black. And so out of that 18%, 72% are in tier 3. Yes, sir. Okay. Exactly. I will say I've seen something very close to this, yes, which is sad, but yes, I have seen this. What's your name? Nikki. Okay, Nikki, I'm tired. I'm about to retire. I'm in year 30. I don't care about no UDL. We're MTSS. I'm going to do what I've been doing for 30 years. Okay? So we have a little bit of that. I love my unions. My mom was a union treasurer. But, right, we have protections for people that should not necessarily have them. So you might have a little bit of that. You might have your administrator that's about to retire. They don't care about UDL, DEI. They don't care about none of it, right? And so the operative word that you used was should. I agree with you, Nikki, completely. So, but people are going, I mean, the human element is what we have to factor in, our biases. I agree. So you pointed those out. Anything else that stands out to anyone? I've heard that also. What's your name?
Eric.
I've heard it. I'm telling you, I've heard that one. Like, you know, why are you in the sixth grade and you need support with phonemic interference? You should have got that in kindergarten. You have these biased attitudes that are still, huh? Yeah, it is. Yep, especially from our middle school, and don't let them be in high school. And then they're really going to be mad because they're like, why didn't you get your IEP by third grade? I can't do it. Like, we've done the thing. Have y'all heard the thing? Okay, so y'all know. And so outside of us as administrators doing our due diligence to get dinosaurs, that's kind of what I call them, those people with that negative, antiquated view of things out of the classroom and get some new people in to that believe in doing the work for children, we're going to run into this. So it's hard to hold the line. That's what my boss used to tell me. Just, you're really good, Natalie, at holding the line. Everybody can't hold the line, though. So you just got to be willing to advocate. All right, so this plan, I'm not going to go through it, but this is kind of like, again, for my data people that are in here, what you should do in the first 30 days in terms of kind of tweaking and changing your system for the better, right? So whether you're meeting... Best practice would be, to me, in my own opinion, I'm sure I can look it up though, but it would be meeting once a week with MTSS. You have some people that meet biweekly, and then you have once a month. My pushback to that is, if you're tracking a child for 6-week changes, but you're only meeting once a month, if you miss a meeting, because y'all know we always can have meetings on time at scheduled times in school because nothing else happens. But if something were to happen, right now you've dropped the ball on this child, and had you been meeting more frequently, you would have caught it sooner. So this is kind of how it should start with the day 1 to 30, 31 to 60, 60 to 90. Again, you want to constantly be reviewing, changing, and doing that. Who's year-round in here? I don't think I'm year-round. I get 1 month off in the summer. But who are my administrators that are year-round? Okay. So when y'all are sitting there shopping, maybe planning your next trip, look at some data maybe for a couple of days. Because I know we're always sitting there trying to figure out what to do, and then you plan as much as you can plan. You forgot to plan this, so here we go. All right, so leadership teams. These are some things, again, where we have to, as the adults, we have to adult hold people accountable. So we need to establish some non-negotiables, some tier one instruction that's accessible to all of our students, regardless of their intervention status, thanks, Eric, or special education eligibility. We also want to monitor their implementation fidelity. So we want to do our walkthroughs, like you said, Nikki, focused on culturally responsive practices. I'm telling y'all, best book ever, Dr. Goldie Muhammad, phenomenal. I know Wayne Risa has done, bless you. She's had some, her book, but Dr. Muhammad is phenomenal with that work. You also want to lead data inquiry cycles, so you want to facilitate building your team to examine their own equity gaps. I can't tell you how many times, being the black person in the room, they thought that I was going to be the one to call out everybody for racism. No. I am not the racism police, even though I don't mind. They expect it from me. To my white allies, they don't always see it coming from you. You are privy to conversations I will never hear. And so it is in that moment that you are required to speak up and do the right thing. I know it's hard, but it's what you got to do. Got to call people out on their stuff. Make it equitable, make it fair. And then remove systemic barriers, so address the scheduling, the staffing, resource constraints that limit the access. So if you have the money, not $65,000, but what money you might have to be able to help a child out, be it feeding them after school, providing busing transportation. Like our students that are, if we take them through MTSS and they have to go to after school tutoring, we do provide buses for them. So even doing something as simple as that, you're going to fill in a gap and be able to help those kiddos. So again, you'll have a copy of this to refer back to. All right, so critical success factors. Of course, you have your unwavering leadership commitment, your transparent data practices, your adult learning focus, and then your continuous improvement cycle. You have to constantly improve. We can't, there's never really a time where you're like, oh, I fixed it and it's great and we have this perfect, no. We get new batches of kids every school year. These are different children. I started teaching in 2005. I do not have the same students from 2005. So we have to constantly look at that and keep that in mind. You might make small tweaks, but still you should be constantly looking to improve. All right, so questions. I am going to pass out this sheet because I do respect your time. And so this one, basically, it gives you some predictions. And it's kind of a talking piece, if you will, to take back to your team, and as you all are looking at your MTSS process, these are some things to think of when you're looking at that data, as well as the process if you can process that. And I'm gonna give you what I got. I think I'm still 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I got four people that aren't gonna get it, sorry. But I can get you a copy of it. And then this one is even worse because it's only 15. Oh, she did put it in there? Perfect. Perfect. I just talked to Ellen before we started. So this one, again, it's a two-pager, but it's actually an activity to walk you through this equity process that we talked about. So if you're like, oh, my God, that lady was up there. She's talking about so many things, from her children to her students to her mother. So they, you know, all the things, right, except equity, because you forgot. It's here for you, okay? You have a copy of it. So I can't quite cut these in half because it's double-sided, so it's a two-pager. So I'm gonna give you some, I think this is my bigger side. And then, yep, it's two pages, so take it, yep. So I guess before, as we say in our classroom, your exit ticket, choose a question and share out your response, and then you can leave. Again, we got three questions. What equity gap will you prioritize first? Which adult actions need immediate attention? This is, again, in your MTSS process. And then how will you engage your team in this work? So choose a question. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to keep it conversation.
Okay. I do have a mole in the room.
If you want information on your card, or I take your information and send you, EdgeCover is
awesome.
Oh my God.
It is awesome. Yeah.
I mean, just be proactive.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. All right, anybody else? Exit ticket.
Which audit action will need you to get attention?
Yep.
Meeting more frequently.
Okay. Meeting more frequently. I'll take that. Anybody else? Yes. Yes, sir. So you're going to use that tool. Perfect. Thank you for that. Yes, ma'am.
How
Awesome. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. That thing is hard, though.
Suspensions with everything. It's in, you're saying suspension data, it's inverse.
It, yep.
25% of our kids are economically disadvantaged, and they make up 75%.
That's a problem. So because you're poor, you need to be out of school. You would actually argue the opposite. Yes, yes. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
I think a good starting point is probably performing
audit. Okay. Perfect. Anybody else? My people in the yes, ma'am, in the back. Goldy, Goldy. Yep. The reference, the book. Yep. It is called, again, y'all, Perimenopause is real. I'm going to tell you the book. Huh? Cultivating Genius. Thank you. And she had another one, but Cultivating Genius. And the other thing about that book, because I led a book study on it, every chapter has discussion questions in it already. So it already functions. So questions for leaders and questions for teachers, and it kind of gives them activities. I think it's a social studies lesson in there, as well as, I think it's a math one also, where it kind of walks them through what an equitable or culturally relevant lesson would look like. So love that book. Perfect. Absolutely. You're welcome. Anybody else? Anybody else? No more exit tickets? All of y'all are held hostage then until the very end. No, I'm just kidding. But my name is Natalie Mutri. I want to say my contact information is in here. Thank y'all so much for listening to me, putting up with my little brain fog, and getting this information. I appreciate all of you. Safe travels home. Thank you.